some of the issues of Birchas Eirusin and Birchas Nisuin. That's what we're up to. So the Gemara here on Zion Omud Aleph, we'll just go through this part quickly. The Gemara says as follows. Just let's get through a little bit some of the topics, and then whatever we're able to do, we'll do. The Gemara says on Zion Omud Aleph, three lines down beyond the wide lines, or three lines into the wide lines. The Gemara says, Amrab Chilba, Amrab Puna, Amrab Abba, Bar Zavda. Everybody have that? On Zion Omud Aleph. Amarab, Achas Besula, Vi Achas Almana, Teuna, Bracha. Okay? So this is very interesting. First of all, the language is very interesting. The Gemara says that whether we're speaking about a first-time marriage or a second-time marriage, right, the Kala, that's what it's talking about initially, Teuna Bracha. It's an interesting expression, Teuna Bracha. She requires a Bracha. What's so interesting about this, it just raises an interesting question, at minimum, is that we call these brachos birchas chasanin, right? So you would think that they relate to the chasan, right? But the Gemara speaks about the kala, whether she's a basula or an almana, as requiring the bracha. And this, is an interesting and important issue in the Gemara. How do we look at birchas chasanin, really? Do we look at it as something that relates to the marriage, or particularly more to one of the parties of the marriage? And as we'll see, it could be the artu dinim, or it's about the marriage collectively, but this is particularly important for the issues that come up a little bit here on the page, and that is, what if there are different requirements in terms of the, at least quantitatively, maybe even qualitatively, between the chasan and the kala, meaning, if you have a first-time chasan and a first-time kala, or you have a more than first-time chasan and more than first-time kala, then it's hard to pin these things down, right? It's a first marriage for both, or second marriage for both. But let's say it's a first marriage for one and not for the other, right? So does it matter whether or not? So again, if you're looking at it in terms of the marriage, what you might say is, well, that's a din of the marriage. I mean, there's a different perspective on first marriages and non-first marriages. What you might also say is, to qualify as a non-first marriage, both of them have to, have been previously married, or any of them have to have previously, been married. But the point is that there are different ways to look at, a second marriage as opposed to a first marriage, and even how to define it. But it shouldn't make a difference as far as that is concerned, whether it's the chasan or the kala. In other words, if you want to define first-time marriage as both first-time or either first-time, that's fine. But it doesn't matter whether it's chasan or kala. There's still something, novel in both cases, and there's still something, that's not classically novel, in the case, in that same case as well. If we distinguish between the chasan and the kala in any respect, so then, on the surface at least, not all Rishonim agree with this, the halacha, but on the surface, it sounds like what we're also saying is, we're not just trying to characterize the marriage, whether this is a first marriage or a second marriage. What we're trying also to do is to isolate, whether there aren't certain dinim that focus on the chasan and certain other dinim that focus on the kala. So then it might matter whose second marriage, the chasans or the kalas? So I'm just pointing out, we'll see this in a minute a little bit. We're not going to go into all the detail, but this is a big, big topic, because I want to make sure that we have time to do some other topics. But even from the, I'm just starting off with a linguistic ha'ara, and that is, we call this consistently in the Gemara and the Rishonim, birchas chasanim, but the Gemara here speaks about the kala being teuna bracha. We also speak in the Masechet Sofrim, in a very famous passage, kala below bracha, right, asur labala kenida. So again, the focus is on, her need, for a bracha. So there's mixed signals already from the very outset, whether this is related to him more or to her more, equally on the evidence, or maybe it's a misnomer and it's to either. You got a question?
Yeah. I just wonder the absence of the word grusha.
Well, it doesn't have to be a grusha, it could be almana.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, here we're treating first marriage as second marriage. We're It's not really, right. I guess they're speaking, I guess, about a more common circumstance or more less psychologically complex circumstance, although obviously the challenges in both cases are. And of course, we're talking about a structural point here when we talk about first and second marriages, right? We're
not so good. They easily have said first marriage, second marriage.
What?
Could easily have said first marriage, second marriage.
Yeah, I mean, that's the halakha. I mean, there's no equivocation about that. Meaning, whatever, as we'll see in a moment, it absolutely does not make a difference at all whether we're talking about a alman or a gerusha or an alman or a garush. But that's clear that we don't make that distinction. But okay. Anyway, so this is something to think about already just from the very beginning words. You know, can always we're always struck by language. We should be struck by language, and it can end up substantively to come to nothing. Or maybe it does, but it's a question to raise. In this case, it's not just a question to raise. It really is a big issue. There's a lot to talk about and to say about all this. For example, I'll just give you another example. There are some dinim, as we'll see, which go only the first day. But we'll get to that in just a minute. The structure of Simchas Chasan Vekala, as I've said in the past, especially when we talked about Chasan Avel, I spoke about it a little more extensively, completely parallels Avelis. Right? It's the first day, the first 3 days, the 7 days, the 30 days, the 12 months, that whole structure applies in both of these. That's very fascinating. Phenomenologically, it's very fascinating. But anyways, some of the issues that go especially beyond the 7 days, let's say the 30 days of Yud Beis Chodesh, some of which we'll see here, the Gemara said earlier, Ein Monin Takshita Min Akala, right, Shloshim Yom, for example. Even in the case of Avelis. So the Netzid has a comment in his Perush on the Shultos where he says that Shloshim Yom is the shear for Shem Kala, not for Chasan. Right? He's not a Chasan for 30 days, but she's a Kala for 30 days. Which is very interesting, just the imbalance. Meaning the marriage is experienced in terms of a little bit differently in some cases by the Chasan and by the Kala. It's not, it's not good, it's not bad, it's not more, it's not less. It's just different, I think, psychologically. It's true. Again, we're speaking structurally about gender differences for the moment, not about individual cases. There are always exceptions in all individual cases, but the idea that the shame kala, let's say, lasts longer than the shame chasan is an interesting idea. Or some of the dinim of Yud Beis Chodesh, Naki Yelabeso, the simach es ishto. Right, again, the obligations that, or the demands of the wife appear to extend longer than the rights or the demands or the requirements, let's say, the dinim of the chasan. So these are some interesting issues. We'll see in a couple of minutes. Shasimcha b'mono, possibly the bracha of Asher Bara. These things may extend, well, certainly Shasimcha b'mono can extend for 30 days under certain conditions, we'll see in the Gemara, and under certain conditions Yud Beis Chodesh. There are some Rishonim who apply this also to the bracha of Asher Bara, the last of the Sheva brachos. But again, so the question is what makes it different than some of the other things, the regular brachos, excluding Asher Bara, and according to some Rishonim, including Asher Bara, certainly don't go beyond the 7 days. So why are there certain things that last 7 days and certain things that last 30 days? We'll see in a moment when we talk about Almon Mialmana or Almon Shenasa Besula, Bachor Shenasa Almana. We'll see this in a minute, that there's a category called Echad Lebrachan Gimel Lesimcha. So again, in a simpler world, but maybe a less spiritually ambitious world, we might just want to simplify our categories. Like, what's going on here? Either everything is 1 day, everything is 3 days, everything is 7 days, everything is 30 days, everything is Yud Beis Chodesh. Why all these nuanced distinctions? Right? Why, when it comes to Bachor Shenasa Almana, why should you say Echad Lebracha and Gimel Asimcha? Let everything be Echad, or everything be Gimel, or everything be Zion, Why all these chilukim? The answer is, of course, because life isn't simple, and the halacha didn't want life to be. Halacha is very nuanced. I mean, it focuses on these differences, not to drive us crazy, but to raise our level and to inspire us to important distinctions, you know, psychological and especially halachically and spiritually. So this question of, you know, kind of an uneven breakdown in some respects, you know, of course, there's the chosan and the kala, and they're a team. There's Sameach chosan v'kala, and there's Sameach chosan ima kala. That's the crescendo bracha. They certainly are a team, and they're in this marriage together. But, you know, the idea that they have different, you know, emphases, you know, and different needs in some cases, and that they might experience it together, but they also experience it a little differently, given their, given the differences of psychological, or as the Rav would say, ontological, you know, makeup, is a very fascinating thing. I mean, you can really, you know, we've been doing that all year, but in any area of halacha, you know, you're trying to understand the laws, and we're also trying to develop a Weltanschauung, a philosophy of life from this. So reconstructing the halacha, that's what the Rav described in Ish Halacha, and in the end of Halachic Mind, is an opportunity to really understand, you know, how the Ribbono Shel Olam wants man to develop. And some of these differences, you know, what belongs to the Kala, what belongs to the Chasan, you know, the difference in duration, the difference in emphasis, all of this is rich material to be understood, right, to illuminate all of these issues. It's basically a philosophy of life and a philosophy of marriage. And a philosophy of getting married and the beginning of marriage and how that, you know, is again something shared but something that is experienced in subtly different ways. We know that to be true, and the halacha basically instantiates that. Anyways, that's just a kind of an introduction. So Amrav Chelvam Ravunam Rav Ava Barzavda Rav Achas Pesula V'Achas Almana Tuna Bracha. Both of these require bracha, but we'll see in a moment whether they're the same, because again we understand that while individually I hope every marriage is wonderful and so on, we also understand that, you know, the experience of a first marriage is different than the experience of a second marriage. And when there's a mixture, you know, one for one it's the first and for the other it's the second, that creates its own interesting challenges, right? That inequality itself of experience is something to look at. Anyways, so the Gemara says, "Mi amar avuna hachi." So this is fascinating. The Gemara originally thought, if we could freeze frame this line of the Gemara, it's not going to stand. It's not going to make it to the, you know, to the cutting, you know, floor, as they say. But for a moment, the Gemara thought, was taking seriously the possibility that an almana does not get any of the Shabbat brachos. Now this is very interesting because, as we'll discuss, one of the things we want to try to figure out, both with regard to Birchas Eirusin, but I think we've discussed that in the past, when we learned Kedushin at least, and also with regard to Birchas Nisuin, is what kind of bracha is it? Is it a Birchas HaMitzvah? Is it a Birchas Shemach Vahodah? Particularly if you think that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, right, and that it's a mitzvah to get married, the chuppah part even, in other words, the Nisuin part is a mitzvah, so how can it be that Almana Eina Tuna Bracha? You have to assume that the Gemara at this moment, when it was thinking that Almana doesn't get a bracha, is only thinking that the brachos have to do with an expression of abundant and unequivocal simcha. There's a certain very high level of absolute simcha, right? Without any tinges of, you know, nostalgia or you know, comparisons to previous you know, experiences and so on and so forth. So the Gemara apparently thought that you don't have that in the case of almana, right? I mean, there's always mixed. Again, I'm not talking about individuals. Individuals can always defy the pattern. But all things being equal, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons that the Gemara focuses on almana instead of grusha too, because as I say, psychologically, obviously, but, you know, there are different challenges to overcome in the case of an almana and a grusha.
But almana is more universal because a kohen cannot marry a grusha, but can marry an almana.
Okay, good, nice. It could be. That's another very good explanation. I didn't think of that, but it rings absolutely true. Anyways, So the but the Gemara is saying that has a halamina that there's no bracha. So obviously there's a mitzvah, right? No one's going to say that the
why
is there a mitzvah?
Yeah.
Well, assuming that there's a mitzvah in general, that it's not related to only to Piri of Arivia, but let's say, or even if it's related to the Piri of Arivia, but as a siyua to the chasan, so then you know he would have that in those circumstances. I mean, no one said, put it this way, the Rambam who holds that Birchas Eirusin, let's say, is a Birchas HaMitzvah, is not Mechalik, nor is it, because the Gemara is never Mechalik, between a Grusha and an Almana and a Bachor and Psula. The assumption is that you make a Birchas Eirusin in all weddings. The only wedding which possibly you don't make a Birchas Eirusin for, according to one view in the Gaonim, and this fits in perfectly with what I'm saying, is Machzor Grushasa. Right? Machzor Grushasa is an interesting case study too. Machzor Grushasa means, and you can't have that by a Kohen, of course, but Machzor Grushasa means that there was no marriage, they're married, they got divorced, but then they reunited. Right, but there was no marriage in between; otherwise, it would be asur. So there's a debate among the Rishonim, Gonim really. Some of the Gonim said, "Well, you know what? When they in Masu Grishaso, there's a Birchas Eirusin, but there's no Birchas Nisuin." And others said, most of them were opinion that there's Birchas Nisuin too. But some of them said there's no Birchas Nisuin, but there is Birchas Eirusin. I think the Pygon. Said, well, if there's no Birchas Nisuin, there's no Birchas Eirusin either. Okay. So that's very interesting. I mean, there's an issue we learned Yevamos a couple of years ago. So if you remember, we discussed a little bit Matzah Grishasa because it's very prominent there in the first parak and some of the topics that we did. So I think I mentioned then that the lovedness, I guess, in Matzah Grishasa is to try to figure out, the minimalist thing that you could say Matzah Grishasa, and probably the most mainstream view, is that it's a regular marriage. You know, and the only thing is that there's an attenuation of the level of simcha, because as I said before, we're talking about structurally, not individually. Sometimes individually, you'd like to think that in Machzor Grishaso, that the period apart, not with other people, but a period apart, gave them a greater appreciation, and then their second chance will be, more inspiring and happy than the first. But certainly, what it's lacking is the sense of pure adventure and everything, it's the same people, who are rekindling their marriage, and that's a great thing. But so the Gemara says and the Mishnah says in Moed Katan that even though you shouldn't have Nisuin b'moed, right? And the Gemara says because ain't marvin simcha b'simcha, or since there's a chasav, whatever it is, it's not appropriate to have Nisuin on Chol HaMoed. But there's a debate about Eirusin. But the Mishnah says that doesn't apply to Machzor Grishaso. Why? The simple pshat is because the level of simcha in Machzor Grishaso is attenuated structurally. And therefore the idea may be that there's no Birchas Nisuin. Maybe even there's not Birchas Eirusin. The more bold or ambitious way to look at Machzor Grishaso is to say it means much more than that. It's not just a lower level of simcha because these actual partners we're married, this is their second to go round, but that actually on some level, halachically, what you're doing is you're resuming, the marriage and kind of, not literally negating the get, otherwise it wouldn't be a problem for a Kohen either, and it is a problem for a Kohen. Of course there was a gerushin, no one's saying you're retroactively undoing the get. But on a certain level, what you're doing is you're going back to the old ishus. Then you might say, oh, maybe there's no birchas nisuin. Maybe there's no Birchas Eirusin, right? That's a very bold. Almon v'almana, right? Or Garush or Grusha. You can't say that idea that we're saying about Machzor Grishaso doesn't apply. There are people never been married before, right? Even on the Simcha level, there's greater Simcha possibly, probably, than Machzor Grishaso, because again, there's a certain, newness. To all of this, this is a new chance for people, and so on and so forth. Not just a second chance. So all I'm trying to point out is that it's very fascinating that the Gemara is a havamina that an almana doesn't get a bracha. It's hard to say. I mean, it is a new ishus. You'd have to say two things. Number one, birchas nisuin is not a birchas a mitzvah, And number two, that it is a bracha related to the intensity of simcha. And number three, that, you know, since it's a second experience for each of these parties, the level of simcha doesn't reach that threshold structurally. Now, in the end, we're not going to accept this, the halacha. Again, a maksa grushasa we might, but that's for maybe other reasons. Both, you know, other reasons. Yeah?
Doesn't the Gemara in Sota say that maksa grushasa is not pater, is yete batzava?
Yeah, okay, so, and therefore, that's good, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, 100%. There are a number of dinim, 100%. Yeah, any because again, there's no din of Shana Rishona, obviously, and as I say, there might not even be Birchas Erusin and Birchas Nisuin, according to some Gaonim. So, 100%. There's Nisuin B'moed, yeah, 100%. Yeah, at minimum. Again, it might even be more than that. It might just be that we look at this as lapsing back into an old marriage rather than, you know, kind of creating a new one. Although not completely, but yeah.
If he paid out her ksuba already on a master b'jasa, he writes her out a new ksuba again?
Yeah.
Yeah. For hundreds of the second time, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not saying. I mean, no, and a Kohen can't do this. So
right.
We're not. I don't mean literally that we have, you know, Igloimil Salamafreya, that we've, you know, we've neutralized the, you know, the Geirushin and we're back into the old marriage completely. What I mean is that, you know, this second marriage, since it's partners who were in the first marriage, so, you know, Alpidin, on some level, we view it as a second marriage that is a continuation of the first marriage. You can put it that way. Okay. Anyways. So the Gemara says, initially the Gemara thinks that this may be true, namely that Almana doesn't require a bracha. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha. Kan b'bachor shanas almana, kan b'almon shanas almana. So the Gemara, it's fascinating, meaning the original habamina that almana ain't a tuna bracha is even if she marries a bachor. Right? Which again, which seems to show that the focus is on her. Meaning she's the mechayeves of bracha. So she's an almana, even though he's a bachor, it doesn't make a difference. If almana ain't a tuna bracha, then we don't care about his status. Right? Then the Gemara says, now, no, that isn't true. If it's almon shanas almona, they're both second time, so that's ain't tuna bracha. Now, is that because any one of them can trigger the brachos, or because it's a din in the nesuin? Right? Also an interesting question. Hard to pin down. We'll show us if we're showing him a little bit, talk about it, but, okay. Anyways, then the Gemara says, ve'almon shanas almona lo. As I say, it's not going to make it to the cutting floor. Meaning, really, an almon shenas almana, there's no birchas nisuin, right? Is that possible? But Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Li, Huna Barnasan, Tana Minayin LeBirchas Chasan and Basara Shenemar VaYikach Asara Anashim Mizikne HaYir. We're talking about this in the car, right? The psukim of Rus, right, which are going to be timely in less than a week. VaYikach Asara Anashim Mizikne HaYir. They took 10 people. Vayomer shvu po, you know, they sat them down. Vayeshvu. And who is this about? This is a Boaz getting married to Rus. That's Almon, Shanasa, Almana. Right? And they understood, Chazal, that the 10 people here were for the sake of Birchas Chasanin, as we'll explain on Zayin Amud Beis. So apparently, Almon Shanas Almana also requires a bracha, right? So that's what he says. Boaz Almon Shanas Almana Hava. So obviously, you do need a bracha. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ina tuna bracha." Tom Rav Huna ina tuna bracha kol Zayin. Avol Yomecha tuna bracha. You do need Birchas Chasanim under the chuppah, and you need Birchas Chasanim Pashtus. What it means here, most Rishonim at least, they say. The first day of the Sheva Brachos, even beyond the Chuppah. But beyond that, we don't go in Almon Shanasa Almana. That's what the Gemara says. So now, this is very fascinating. This will, you know, leads us to raise an interesting question. Again, this is a much bigger topic, but I just don't want to dwell on the details for the moment. And that is this idea that there's only one day of Brachos and Almon Shanasa Almana. Two things need to be noted. Number one, it highlights the special status of the first day. As I said before, parallel to Avelos,
yeah,
in every respect. In Avelos, as we know, the Yom Kavuro Misa might be Daraisa, and there are certain dinim, special dinim in general, about the first day of Avelus. So too, in Alman Ve'almana is a great example, and some Rishonim note it, that the first day has a special status in general. Not just for Alman Ve'almana, perhaps. The fact that it has a special status for Alman Ve'almana maybe, not necessarily, spills over and highlights its special status generally. This comes up in the Chasson Avel Sugya in the following way. The Rishonim were bothered, because remember what happens in the Chasson Avel case. What happens is if it's the father of the Chasson and the mother of the Kala, right, we go ahead with the marriage. And once we do the marriage, right, so then afterwards when we do the Kavura, it delays the Avelus, right, till after the Shivas Me'amishta. Right? Sometimes what happens is Machnisan Sameis L'Chirah, we did this extensively, right? Machnisan Sameis L'Chadar V'Zachosan V'Zachala L'Chopah, and then we do Kvura, right? And then we have Shivas Me'amishta, and then Shivas Me'avelus. Oh. So the Rishonim ask, listen, all very nice and good, but you can really be Doche the first day of Avelus, according to the Rishonim, who think that it's Daraisa. Right, like the Rambam, and that's how the Ramban concludes, the Gonim. If it's Yom Kippur Misa, the Dine Abelus are Daraisa. So the all the Rishonim ask, the Shivas Me'amishta, which are presumably Drabanan, are Doche Abelus Daraisa? After all, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu is Metaken Shivas Me'amishta, and Moshe Rabbeinu is Metaken Shivas Me'avelus. But at least the Gonim and the Rambam and the Ramban, all those major authorities think that the Yom Kippur Misa is Daraisa. So how could Shivas Me'amishta, Takan of Moshe Rabbeinu, be Doche? So they give all sorts of answers. Right? The Ramban says Sheval Taisa, and so there are all sorts of others say, oh, you see from here that it isn't true. That all the days of Avelus, all Dine Avelus are only Drabana, like the Bali Tosas say. Anyways, but the Yad Ramah, quoted by the Rush, says, I have the answer. The answer is that the first of the Shivas Me'amishta is Doraisa. Right? B'yom Simchas Libchem, Yom of Matan Torah is like a marriage, also a Shavuos theme, right? A marriage between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbonu Shel Olam, that's the Nesu'in, there's the Erusin, there's the Nesu'in, whatever that means, right? And consequently, we have a Pasuk, or Psukim, that seem to be referring to the I concept at least, of Yimei Mishta, of the day of the wedding, you know, having a spillover stature as a Yom Simcha. So the Rama says, quoted by the Rush, you see from Alman V'Almana, right, that it's has a special status that day, the day of the Chuppah. Again, does it have to be Dafka the same day of the Chuppah, or can it be, that's also Machlokas. You know, what if what if the Chuppah is late in the day, and the first meal, which happens very often in any wedding, is only at night, after Shkia. So in general, that's a question when the status of Yom Rishon applies. But particularly with regard to Alman V'Almana, actually it's a very interesting exchange. The Bach raises this. The Bach quotes the position of Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham says, in general, the first day with regard to the dinim of Shivas Me'amishta is the first day starting from the Suda. That's what Rabbeinu Yerucham says. Not from the Chuppah. However, that's true normally. But when it's Alman, Shanos Almana, the special din of Yom Echad, Libracha, that's only if it's the same day as the Chuppah. And the Bach quotes this, and the Bach says, I don't understand, what's the difference? I mean, the question here is whether Yom Rishon is independent of the Chuppah. Right? Why should you be mechalik between Alman V'Almana and anybody else? I'll get back to that in just a second. But it's an interesting point. The point is that Yom Rishon has a certain special status. By the way, I'll tell you where this comes up again. Again, halacha lemaisa, it's a very, very interesting issue, and conceptually it's an important issue. You have it all the time. Again, how do you define Shivas Me'amishta in terms of timing? Right? Let's say the chuppah is right before Shkia. And the first mishta is after, so is Shiva Simea mishta defined by the first meal or by the chuppah? Does it extend the extra day or not? I get this question all the time. So that's a question, that's a debate between the Rosh as a tshuva, in which he says that everything should depend on the chuppah. And usually I think we, it's Safik Brachos, I think we go by the Rosh. The Shulchan Aruch seems to go by the Rosh. And Nosei Kelim seem to go by the Rosh. Although Pesachei Tshuva has some very interesting questions and issues about it, Meis Leis and so on. All sorts of fascinating things. But the Rabbeinu Yerucham disagrees. And in particular, he talks about a case, let's say, which we also have all the time. Let's say the chuppah is in one city, and then right after the chuppah, they want to go back to the hometown of the chassan, the kala, whatever it is, they want to have Sheva Brachos somewhere else. So let's say they have their first Sheva Brachos like 3 days later in Los Angeles, you know. So, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, that triggers the beginning of Shivas Yemei Mishnah. That's already a pretty radical shita. Those who simply will say it doesn't depend on the chuppah, it depends on the first Mishnah, but meaning the first opportunity of Mishnah. Rabbeinu Yerucham says no, and if they're traveling, then the first time they actually do it. So it can be from day 3 to 10 can be the Shivas Yemei Mishnah, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham. That's pretty wild. It also shows that they're independent. You know, are these independent phases? Or, you know, are they concentric circles, you know, stemming and radiating from each other? Also really, really an interesting question.
Why 3 to 10? Why not 5 to 10? 5 to 12?
Yeah, in Achanami. Yeah. Where do you draw the line? Maybe it has to start within the 7 days, at least. That's what some of the Nosakalim say. Like, where does it end? You know. But even if you didn't go any that far at all, let's say you just wanted to say, it doesn't start at the chuppah. You know, it starts at the first opportunity of Mishta. That's also very important. Again, we're another place. I always thought that the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yerucham were lishitaso in this respect too. If you remember, when we just talked about the sugya of Chassan Avel, I mentioned there's a major, major debate. Let's say it's not the father of the Chassan and the mother of the Kala. Let's say it's the father of the Kala and the mother of the Chassan. Right? So the Gemara says Avel Ipcha, meaning in that case, lo. I mean, the assumption seems to be that the father of the chassan and the mother of the kala are the irreplaceable, you know, people here. And bismanenu, it might be different anyway, but that's a different question. So aval ipchalo. So what's the aval ipchalo? So most Rishonim understand aval ipchalo means that you'll do the kvura first, right? That will trigger the shivas me'avelas. Then you'll get married, and then that'll be followed by the shivas me'amishta. That's a simple pshat. So that's how the Rambam understood it. That's how Rashi understood it. That's how the Rosh understood it. The Rif, Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Ritz Geus, there's a group of Rishonim who didn't understand it that way. They thought that Aval Ipchalo is a very minor change. What it means is, instead of having the order of Chuppah, right? Kavura, Shivas Me'amishta, Shivas Me'avelos, right? What you have is, one second, let's make sure I'm saying it right. Yeah, you'll have chuppah, right, kvura, shiva simea velos, and then shiva simea chuppah. Shiva simea mishta. That's, you will have the chuppah either way before the kvura. So the Rosh says, that's the Rif and that whole group of Rishonim all like. So the Rosh says, how could that be? Why would you do such a thing? Why would you want to split the Shivas Me'amishta from the Chuppah? Now, I don't know whether this question is so much as why, like what's the point? Or how can you? So I always thought, again, the Rosh is Lashitaso, because it's Tshuva the Rosh, where he says that the way that you figure, the way that you calculate Shivas Me'amishta is always from the Chuppah. It's a shitaso. He thinks that, you know, Shivas Me'amishta flows out of the chuppah. You can't separate for the same reason. You can't have a chuppah and then 7 days later you're going to have the beginning of the Shivas Me'amishta. Whereas Rabbeinu Yerucham, who thinks that even if you go traveling, you delay, that's another phase, another part of the celebration, but independent of the chuppah. So he also thinks it's possible to have the chuppah, and then to have a velus, and then to have Shivas Me'amishta. Anyways, they've got a lot of issues.
Well, how do you justify separating the kvura from the avelus?
I'm sorry? Well, either way you do that, in the case of Meisam shal chasan and nima shal kala. So we know that already. We know that you can do that. We're not maybe so thrilled about it, but we know that that's doable. There's no Gemara that ever says, depending on how you read avalip chalo, that you can ever separate the shivas mishta from the chuppah. But the Gemara that says that avalip shal chasan nima shal kala does say that you can separate. And not only that, we know that from the world of avalis b'yam tov too, or b'chalamoid. Right, where you have a kvura, but you delay the onset of the shivas me'avelis. So again, you know, we don't do it, easily, you know, but that paradigm of splitting those two things
has been already discussed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to check whether I understood you or heard you correctly.
Ooh, that sounds ominous.
No.
I didn't say it.
When the chuppah occurs before shkia and the suda occurs after shkia,
yeah,
then you're counting actually 2 days, the day of the chuppah.
What I'm saying is that according to Tshuva Sarash, and I think that
Lagabe, the last day, you would not, the seventh day after the first suda.
You would count the chuppah as the first day.
First day, right. So therefore, you would only have effectively 6 days.
More.
Yeah. More. My understanding, however, is that that's not the practice.
So they did ask you.
that's what the Shulchan Aruch seems to say. That's what Shulchan Aruch seems to say. That's a debate between Rabbeinu. I don't know what the seeming practice is, but
I do have another question.
Yeah. But there are some views. That's what the Shulchan Aruch and the Chalkas Mechokek seem to say. I can check it again. But there are some views in Pisachei Tshuva that seem to dispute it.
How does this work with the first Suda that becomes like the second Shabbat process, right? The first Shabbat
is under the chuppah. Well, that's part of one of the big issues in the sugya here,
right,
is whether what the relationship is between the Shabbat brachos under the chuppah and the Shabbat brachos of Shivas Me'amishta. Because again, I alluded to the question whether it's a birchas Shabbat Kol Hodah, birchas HaMitzvah. Obviously, if it's a birchas HaMitzvah, so it's hard to understand what. So how come you make the same brachos, you know, afterwards? So there could be one or two answers to that question. Or what, three? I mean, if you assume this is in fact a birchas hamitzvah under the chuppah, there can be one of two answers. One is that the role of it's the same brachos, but they're serving a different role. I'm going to argue that that is shitas Rambam. The Rambam shows. I'll just tell you now because again we don't have so much time. But the Rambam did a very fascinating thing here. The Gemara speaks about Shivas Me'amishta and the brachas under the chuppah right here in the Gemara, here on Zion and Ches together. The Shulchan Aruch in Avinu Ezer speaks about it in the same place. You know, what is it? Simen Samach Aleph, Samach Beis, right? But the Rambam did something very fascinating. He dealt with the dinim of under the chuppah and also some of the malachos issues, Masomaton, etc., of Shivas Me'amishta in Perek Yud Hilchos Ishus. But the brachos that we make during meals for Shivas Me'amishta, the Rambam did that in Perek Beis Hilchos Brachos, which is why I asked you if you had the Rambam Ava before. I wasn't being critical because you know you'd have to be a Navi to know, but that's what I meant. The Rambam dealt in Hilchos Brachos. I think there are other diyukim as well. That the Rambam meant to split them up, to say that, you know, these have the same brachos, same content, but don't be misled. They're really, even though I don't think the Rambam thinks it's birchas hamitzvah, but I think he thinks that these are two different issues and dinim, and are bigger chilukim in the Rambam that we'll highlight it, that I hope we'll get to. So I think that's an important question and an issue. But, you know, whether or not the dinim of Yom Rishon, because there are some extra dinim of Yom Rishon, including Almon V'Almana, as I'm saying now, Almon V'Almon is only if it's the Yom Chuppah, or it's certainly more than at the Chuppah. You know, we're talking about a Mishta that takes place after the Chuppah. But let's say it takes place after. So what I was saying was that Rabbeinu Yerucham seems to say that, generally speaking, we define the first day, that's the same Rabbeinu Yerucham, basically, as the first meal.
Did
even if it's on a separate day, a day after the chuppah. What's that? Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. Well, that's right. We're in that age, right? The age of technology. So the Ram, I'll just tell you my bigger diuk also, because again, I'm not sure how much. So the Ram here in Perek Beis, Hilchos Brachos, speaks, it's in the context of Berachas HaMazon. And the extra, you know, insertion, he has Ritzei, Alevi Yavo, Alanisim, he speaks about all these things. Bracha Revias Tzorech Lahaskir Gimel Malchios, Gishim Mevarech Oreach, Heitzo Balabayas, the Berachas Oreach. So then, in Halacha, hey, he has Ukashim Mevarech in Vesa Avel, Omer Bracha Revias HaMelech Chachaya, Tova Meitiv, El Emes, Dayan Emes, Shofet Tzedek, that's Avelis. And then Halacha Tes, Bebeis Chasanim, Mevarech in Birchas Chasanim, Achar Arba of Brachos Elu, Bechol Suda Vesuda Sheochlim Sham. Ve'ein Mevarech in Brachazu, Lo Avadim, Lo Ktanim, right? Ad Kama Mevarech in Brachazu, Imay Almon Shinas Almano, Mevarech in Osa V'yom Rishon Bavad, as we'll discuss, in Bakar Shinas Almano, Almon Shinas Vesula, Mevarech Osa Zayin, Imay Mishta. Then he adds in Halacha Yud, Bracha Zusha Mosifim Beis Chasanim, He Bracha Achrona Misheva Bracha Shom Nisuin. Bamedvar Mamurim Kashe Ochlin Heim Shomdu Bibrachas Nisuin Bishamu HaBrachos, Him Hayo Ochlin Machem Mishal Shomu Birchas Nisuin, Bishas Nisuin, Mavarkin Bishvilam, Achar Birchas Amazon, Zion Bracha, I'll explain this in a minute, Kedarshim Mavarkin Bishas Nisuin. Vehu Shei Asara, the Chasanim, Minaminyan. Then it's fascinating. Halacha Yud Aleph. The Elohim Sheva Brachos. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hayom Yotzer Adam. And he has all the brachos. So in the Frankel Rambam, he took out the Elohim Sheva Brachos. Practically this whole halacha, he just says, "Oh, you make Sheva Brachos." He says because the Rambam has the Nuchas Ishas in Perek Yud. He has all the Sheva Brachos. Why does he need to repeat it here again? And apparently there were a number of Kisvei Yad. He thinks the primary kisviyad where this piece was left out. I like it here a lot, although it could be that it's wrong. It's in the old printed Rambams, which is this, what is this, Blecht Chabaderech? Yeah. So they took from the old printed Rambams, and it's here. We just don't know which is the right kisviyad. I like it because I think that the Rambam did it intentionally. I think it's his way of saying it's the same brachos, but it's two different b'chayvim, two different dinim. And it's not a coincidence that it's the same brachos. I think the point is that you want the continuity. Sometimes the best way to subtly, right, accentuate, you know, differences and yet continuity is to have continuity, but in a different context, you know, and where, you know, it's playing a different role. And I think that's a great snapshot of, you know, marriage, stages of you know, integrating into marriage also, where you have, you know, some of the same rituals or whatever, but in a different context, where it's also a new experience at the same time. And I think, oops, hopefully it's not something that I did. Oh, yeah, I don't have, it's not my thumbprint, isn't going to help, right? Anyways, I might need it again in a minute, but, what? I'll let you know. I might get to it in another minute. You know, I'll make the deal quickly, if you don't mind. This idea of the Rambam, I think this is very mechudash, but very important in the Rambam, since you raised it. I'll tell you where, you know, an important expression of this, which I think is sensational, that people didn't pick up on, and I think it's really just, you know, a mito shel Torah in the Rambam. Just if you turn for a minute, we'll get back to Alman Ve'almana because this is all part of the. But just for a minute, the bottom of Zayin Omid Beis. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanu Mevarchin Birchas Chasanim Ba'asara Kol Shiva. The last line, last two lines. Everybody have it? Mevarchin Birchas Chasanim. If I press this now and then, it keeps it alive?
Just slide it.
Oh, just slide it, okay. So, Tan Rabbanu Mevarchin Birchas Chasanim Ba'asara Kol Shiva. And then the Gemara says, "Amrav Yehuda v'ushabo panim chadashos." Right. So the Gemara says, "Birchas chasanim, if you have a minyan, all seven, any time during the 7 days, and you have the appropriate, other components, you'll say it." And then Rabbi Yehuda said, "V'ushabo panim chadashos." Right. And then my mvarech, Amrav Yehuda, and this is where we have the brochos. Or chatos shamel kena malach olam shakol bar alech vodoy yitzar adam asher yitzar adam b'tzalmo b'tzalim d'mus tavni so. Hiskelod binyan adayad, right? And then you have Yotzer Adam. You have all the brachos here. Very fine and good. Now, that's one Gemara. Then you have another Gemara. Let's just go to Chesam and Aleph a little bit later on, the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Ikla Lebe Rav Kahana. This is about 50, a little more than, I'd say 60% down the page. Everybody have it? Rav Ashi Ikla Lebe Rav Kahana. If you see there where it says Shamhe on the right side, it's about five lines below that, or four lines below that. Oh, Rav Ashi Ikla Lebe Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi rather Ikla Lebe Rav Kahana. So, Yoma Kama Baruch Kulu. This is where you get the idea that maybe the first day has also special status, in addition to Alman V'Alman and what we've been talking about. Yom Kama, the first day of the Sheva, Sheva Simei Mishnah. Also only the day of the Chuppah, we're not sure, whatever. Right? Baruch Kulu, he makes all seven. Mikan V'Elach, from then on, Iika Panim Chadashos, Baruch Kulu, Ilo, Afushe Simcha B'Alma, Umavarsha, Simcha B'Mona, V'Asher Baruch. Wow. Okay. This is a new wrinkle that we didn't know of before. Before, the Gemara says, Mevarchim Birchas Chasana Basara Kol Shiva. And the Gemara says, Hushabo Panim Chadashos Slikan. As long as you have Panim Chadashos, you can, we know this, right? But what some of us don't know enough, which is accepted halacha of the Shulchan Aruch, is that there's an exception. If you don't have Panim Chadashos, you will still say the last of the long one, Ashabara. Okay? That comes from this Gemara. Right, Iika Panim Chadashos Baruch Kulu Ilo Afushe Simcha. The language is also important. Bialma Hu Mevarish Simcha Mimono, which is the Zimun part of it. Vashar Bara, and then the Gemara continues from Shiva. Vad Shloshim Bein Amar Machlos Ilula Bein Lomar Machlos Ilula Mevarish Simcha Mimono. Whether or not they mount especially for particularly this is we're continuing to celebrate the wedding, you'll say Shasimcha Mimono Mikan VeElach until a year. As long as it's the 6 month and 2 week and 3 day anniversary of Bill and Sally or whoever it is, right? So Shandy or whatever it is. So Mevarcha Simcha Bimono Vilo Lo. Then the Gemara says V'chiyamale Machmas Silu Anema. How long will this go on? So the Gemara says Rav Papi Bishmei Derava Ad Treso Yarcheshata. Right. For 12 months. And Mikari Me'emas, and how early will it start? Michi Rami Sari Basinta, which most of Shonim think means when he starts mixing the barley for the beer. He starts making wedding preparations in earnest. Okay. Anyways, that aside for the moment. So it's fascinating because, number one, the Gemara has a new interesting halacha here about Asher Bara. Right? Okay. If you look at the Gemara in Zionwood Base, the impression that you would certainly get would be that the default in Sheva Brachos for Shivas Mei Mishdah is to have Panim Chadashos and to say all seven brachos. And psychologically, in terms of our own orientation, right, that is absolutely what has penetrated and permeated into every single one of us, over the years. And as when we think of Sheva Brachos, we think of Oy vey, who's going to be the Panim Chadashos? Who didn't I invite to this, 1,000-person wedding? Or who didn't come? Or who will come to be Panim Chadashos? that's the way we think of it. Right? And that's the way most Rishonim thought of it. Meaning that the default and the typical Sheva Brachos is to have Panim Chadashos and to say all seven Brachos and so on. Right? Nebuch, if you can't, I'm adding the Nebuch intentionally. So, you'll say Asher Bara. Right? How many, have you ever been at a Sheva Brachos where people only said Asher Bara?
No.
I want to go to one, but I've never been at one. Okay. But I have a stake in wanting to do this because, as you'll explain. What? There you go. So, but, if you look at the Rambam, an amazing thing happens. What? Yeah, I got it. Yeah, absolutely. So, the Rambam says the following. I read it already, but you could just totally miss it. The Beis Chasanim, right? Mevarch in Birchas Chasanim Archa Arba Brachos Eilu B'chol Suda V'suda Sh'ochlim Sham. Vein Mevarch in Brachazu Lo Avadim Lo Ktanim. Do you notice already what he said? You make this Birchas Chasanim, not these, but this, right after the Birchas Hamazon, and you don't know Avadim Lo Ktanim Ad Kama Mevarchin Imay Alman Shana Salmana Mavarchin Yom Rishon, fine. Bachar Shana Salmana, Alman Shana Salmana, Mavarchin Osa Koshiva Imay Mishta. Then the Ram continues. Bracha Zusha Mosifin Nudeis Chasanim, the bracha that you add, the bracha that you add, right? He bracha Achrona Misheva Bracha Shon Nesuin is the last of the Sheva Brachos, namely Asher Bara. And then the Rambam says, that's of course if the people at the Sheva Brachos are people who were at the wedding. Meaning, the Rambam turned this whole orientation completely on its head. He read the Gemara in a completely different way. Right? Because we read the Gemara, number one, this is our orientation, but probably where did it come from? The first Gemara doesn't say anything about Asher Bara. It basically says, you want to make Sheva Brachos, make sure you have Panim Chadashos. Then there's another Gemara on Chesed Aleph, the other shoe drops, but pretty silently. That is, oh, you can't get Sheva, but you can't get Panim Chadashos. You can still make Asher Bara. But the Rambam didn't read it that way. The Rambam was impressed with Chesed Aleph, so the Rambam really understood, this is the Diyuk. I mean, people read the Rambam all the time, they don't get this. Because they just, you know, they're thinking the normal way of looking at it. But if once you realize it, you just realize, this is what he's saying. What is the Rambam really saying? The Rambam's saying, default, the norm in Sheva Brachos is not to have Panim Chadashos, right? But to have Sheva Brachos is to say Asher Bara. And that's the definition, that's the Hagdara of Sheva Brachos. If there are people, at the Mishteh, sorry. If there are people at your mishteh who happen not to be at the wedding, so then I'm there for their benefit, you'll make Sheva Brachos.
How many?
Excellent question. How many? It sounds like the Rambam requires plural. So the Rabbi Avraham and Rambam, his son, says, you know what, I used to think, there are some people who think that my father requires 10 Panim Chadashos. And there's a tshuva, the Bach says this in the Bach, and there's a tshuva of the Taz also, where they argue this. The Rabbi Avraham and Rambam ends up saying, I don't think it's true, I think the plural just means two. That's also amazing. The Ritva has two deis in general, about Panim Chadashos, do you need one or two? Right? But the idea that you might even need 10, is you could only say that for the Rambam. But anyway, the point of all this is, you know, that according to the Rambam, basically, the Iker is Birchas Asher Bara. That's the Birchas Sheva Brachos, basically. And the Iker is in the Mishteh. That's what I meant before. I'd like to try it because you have the people you celebrated with at the wedding. If you happen to have other people who weren't there, then you'll make the Sheva Brachos for them, Bishvilam. That's a totally different orientation. But what this, to me, just let me explain one, add one more thing. There are other rayas for this too, but what this reinforces is the ha'ara that I made before, which is, it's so fascinating that the Rambam chose to split up. And again, you know, it's hard, and the Rambam was an amazing organizer. And it's hard to know. I mean, it's true that he's talking about Hosafos to Birchas Hamazon. I don't want to make more of it than it is. But it's still quite interesting. You know, he could have repeated it again in Perek Yud Chasishas. It's interesting that he chose to break up these two things. So the fact that he thinks not only that, but the ideal or the default configuration is different too. Under the Chuppah you make Sheva Brachos. Here you make Asher Bara. I'll take it a step further. The Rambam holds in Perek Yud Chasishas, here, this I can return already. Thank you very much. The Rambam Perek Yud Hilchasishus holds that you make the Birchas Chasanim before the Chuppah. For the Rambam, this is important because the Rambam's definition of Chuppah, we discussed this earlier in the year, is Yichud. Not standing under the klunzos like so one of the reasons, one of the things that we do. So the Rambam says here in Perek Yud, the The Ramach, very upset. Where does he get this from? How does he know it? Why should it be so? Many of the Mefarshim don't like it. And there's a struggle to explain. How does the Rambam know this and what does it mean? So the Beis Yosef actually says that the Rambam holds it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. Therefore, it's subject to the din of Kol HaMitzvahs Mevarchin Aleihem over L'Asiyasa, and it has to be prior. The problem with that is, well, let me just say two things. But if that's the case, then how do you explain Birchas Chasanim during the week, like we asked before? So none other than the Ravid asks this question, but he doesn't ask it against the Rambam. The Ravid has a comment in Tmim Deim, where he says that the Birchas Nisuin are Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. So the Birchas Shevach, he says, how do I know it? He says, because we say it all the whole week of Yimei HaMishta, we keep saying these brachos. The mitzvah's long been done. Right? Obviously, this is a problem for the Rambam. Right? So if they're on the Halakha Beis Yosef, right? So how do you explain the discrepancy here? But according to what I'm suggesting in Ilchos Brachos, the fact that he put it in Ilchos Brachos, the fact that the default there is Asher Bara, the Rambam just says, no, if you have somebody who wasn't there, you have to reenact for him. You have to go back to the video, put it back the video. Or now it's no longer the video, right? What do we call it now?
YouTube.
The digital. Right? So it's a totally different idea. Now the truth, I don't happen to think that the Rambam really holds that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. For the following simple reason. If you remember, I think we discussed earlier in the year or at other times, the Rambam's view about Birchas Eirusin. The Rambam in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Ishus, says that the Birchas Eirusin has to be done before the Eirusin. Right? And he says, why? It's because it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. That he says very explicitly. It's Perek Gimel, Halacha Chav Gimel. Kol HaMekadosh Ishu Ben Ha'idei Atzmo Ben Ha'idei Shliach Tzorach Levarech Kodem HaNisuin Hu Oshlucho Achakach Mekaj Kederech Shemavarchim Kodem Kol HaMitzvos Vim Kiddush V'Labirach Lo Yivarech Achak Kedushin Shizu Bracha Levatala Masha Nasa Kvar Nas. When the Rambam wants to say that something is a Birchas HaMitzvah, he knows how to say it. He knows how to quote Kol HaMitzvos Mevarchim Aleihem Over L'Asiyasan. He knows how to tell you that if you don't do it in advance, you shouldn't do it at all. That's his personal shita. L'Shitaso in Perek Yud Aleph Echos Brachos. It's a Bracha Levatala. He knows how to tell you all. He's not shy. Not reticent. In Perek Yud, when he talks about Birchas Chasanim, he doesn't say a thing. He doesn't say the words Birchas HaMitzvah. He doesn't say Kol HaMitzvah Somar Aleihem. Not only that, but in Perek Yud HaChasishus, the Rambam says explicitly that if you didn't make Birchas Chasanim in advance, then b'diavad, you can make it even afterwards. What happened to Masha Nasa Kvar Nasa? There's a way to answer that, but he at least needs to address it. He says here, 1 second. Hama'aris as a isha, iris v'kines l'chupa, this is Perek Yud Halachavav, iris v'kines l'chupa v'lo birach birchas chasanim, reizu nesua gemura, v'chozer mevarech, afilo acher kama yamim, it's also a debate there. How many yamim? Bach says, as long as they're married. Wow. 30 years later. 50 years later. Most of the Mefarshim say it has to be at least Shivas Mishta. Some say a year. Some say before Bias Mitzvah. They're all interesting questions. So the Ran does not like the Beis Yosef. He doesn't, not for these reasons. But the Beis Yosef is very mechudash to say this is Birchas Eirusin. The Ran says something else. The Ran says, no, the Ran's L'Shitaso because he really holds that chuppah is yichud, not just yichud. Yichud aroy lebiyah. That's why the Rambam holds it. Chuppah snida is a problem. I'm saying the word is a problem rather than saying that it's nothing because we talked about the fact that it probably is something, but it's not a full nesuin, right? So since we say kalab below bracha asur lebala kenida, so the brachos have to come prior to the chuppah, so it can be a heter yichud and it can be a yichud aroy lebiyah. That's what the Ran says in Psachim, and of Zion. Why in Psachim? Because that's the sugya of Kol HaMitzvos, Mevarchin Aleihem over L'Asiyasan. So the Ran says, don't think that the Rambam Shita about Birchas Nisuin is that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's not. Because it doesn't sound like it. I mean, it doesn't read like a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's all these different Yotzer Adam, Yotzer Arsa Adam, Shakol Bar Adam. It doesn't sound like Berachas HaMitzvah. So the Ran says, no, it's a din in Kala B'Lobo. But the truth is the Rambam never quotes Kala B'Lobo B'Lo Brachas or Levala Kanida either. He just doesn't. In a tshuva, he quotes it, and he says, it's a bit of a melitza. When he quotes it, he downplays it. So why does the Rambam say it has to be in advance? I think it's a different reason. And that is as follows. The Rambam says, Im mevarchen birchas chasanim, I'm sorry, Hama'arzis ha'isho birch birchas chasanim, v'lo nisyachin ima bebeso, adayin arusa, she'ein birchas chasanim, osa ha'nesuin, ela knisa l'chopa. The Rambam, for some strange reason, in Perek Yud, Halacha Vav, Afechasishos, felt it necessary to inform the world, don't think that if you make Birchas Nesuin without a chuppah, that qualifies as a chuppah. Why would anybody think that? You didn't do the chuppah. Right? So it's true that it's not so, but the fact that the Rambam needed to emphasize that it's not so is surely interesting. Right? Maybe it's a clue. A clue for what? So given our discussion of early in the year, we talked about our first topic of the year, we talked about the fact that there's a difference between Erusin and Nesuin. The Mishnayos treat Erusin differently than Nesuin. The Torah Shebichsav treats Erusin differently than Nesuin. Right? In Erusin, we have very, very clear, defined categories. Kesef, Shtar, Bia, we know what they are. You need a Kiyum. Right? It's a Maisa Kinyan. It's explicit in the Mishnah. Right? There might be debates about some of the details, but it's all very set out clearly, unambiguously. Nesuin, we know from the Torah that there is such an institution, because the Torah treats a Nesua differently than an Arusa, with regard to certain dinim, right? Nadarim, and Truma, and possibly Truma according to one day, and not so much according to others, but Chenek and Skila, there are differences, right? Yerusha, Hafaras Nadarim, Tuma. But the Torah is very unexplicit about the whole thing. And the Mishnah is starting. There's no Mishnah that Ad Kedei Kachat the Rishonim can have the debate that they have. The Rishonim can debate what Chuppah is. There's no explicit Mishnah, no compelling Mishnah in Gemara. And some of them seem to say this, well, we discussed them earlier in the year. And in particular, this is true for the Rambam. What we tried to explain for the Rambam was the Erusin is a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is the Oser. In a way, it creates even greater distance between a husband and wife, because it needs to safeguard and secure the fragility. If this marriage is going to be, b'hoyle basar echad, right? It's going to be a merging of personalities and of interests in every way. It needs to be protected, right? Monetarily, psychologically, existentially. We have to have built-in protections for the people. That's what the Erusin is. But the ultimate goal is the Nesuin. Right? It's the Heter Ishalabala, the Matir part, and that's a Dover de Mimele. It has the result of a Kenyan, but it's not a Maisa Kenyan. It's very symbolic. Chaye Ha'ishus, right, is Nesuin. So I think that's why the Rambam thought that Hama'aris Isha, don't think if you're Ma'aris Isha and you say Brachos, that's enough. Because you don't really need a mice. There's no Maisa. It's not a Maisa Kinyan. It's the themes of the. It's the removal of the obstacles and the recognition by others, right? That at this point the issues begin. That's what's Koveya. What is Yichud Aroy Labia, right? If not that symbolically. So you might have thought, you know what? Pronouncing these themes, these very lofty, inspiring ideas, right? Under the chuppah. That's the chuppah. Okay, so it's not. But at the end of the day, even if it's not, in a very real sense, we can now understand, is my suggestion, why it has to be kodem l'chuppah. Because in a way, what we're doing is, we're kind of, telegraphing, what the chuppah is all about. We're describing it. Birchas Erusin describes Erusin perfectly. That's why it's Asher. Osar lanu osar rusos, and tzivanu ala rayos, all that, because it's about the Oser. And the Birchas Nisuin are very beautiful themes, and their interaction, concluding with Mesameach Chos Ani Makala, which define the next stage of Nisuin. So what? It isn't a Nisuin in its own right, but it has to be Kodem, right? Oh. But if that's true, then of course it's different under the Chuppah than it is for Shivas Me'amishta. How could it not be? Right? And if the whole point is that the Rambam requires Birchas Nisuin, Kodem HaChuppah, why are you saying it the rest of the days of the Mishnah? The answer is, according to the Rambam, you're not really. Because really what you're doing the next of the days of the Mishnah is saying Asher Bara. Right? If somebody wasn't at the wedding and he's like, what are they all doing here? So you have to, you know, go back to the video. So you make the brachos, Bishvilam or Bavuram. For example, the Rambam, I'll just give you one other aura just quickly. Panim Chadash, what are Panim Chadashos? This is also a big topic. Who are Panim Chadashos? What are Panim Chadashos? Big debate. Right? Some people say, we know we pass in this way, but Bali Tosa say it already here on Daf Chesam and Aleph. Look on the top. I'm sorry. No. Where is it? Where's that? Oh, the bottom. Sorry, the bottom of Zayin Beis. Who should buy Panim Chadashos? Omer Rabbeinu Tam Panim Chadashos Ein Korei Al Bnei Adam Shemar Ben Bishvila Masimcha Yoser. The Shabbos the Chashvinim Panim Chadashos Darmina Bagadam Izbar Shili Yom Hashabbos. Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu Panim Chadashos Bo Lekan Nomar Shira. Pasam Nami Mar Ben Lekvod Shabbos Besimcha Vesuda. We're knowing this way. There's a big question. What about Yom Tov? And then what about Yom Tov Sheni? And what about Shalosh Shudas? And we had a wedding on Purim. I mean, not on Purim. And the week, a couple of days before Purim. We had Sheva Brachos on Purim. And there's a discussion in the Berhei tape, quotes the Knesset Agdola, is Purim considered Panim Chadashos? Right? Anyways, this whole discussion, what does it mean? I mean, so the Bali Tosas quote, the Medrash here, about, you know, Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos, Panim Chadashos Balakai. You can understand it very mystically. I understand it a little bit differently. It's a new experience for Chassan and Kala. Our Shabbos is woven into the fabric of daily life. The whole week revolves around Shabbos, and Shabbos is every week. And the first Shabbos, as Chassan and Kala, is a new dimension and experience of their marriage.
But it's not about them. It's about Pesamech, the new guests.
Sorry?
No,
I'm saying if you want to say, I mean Shabbos, Mr. Shabbos.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so I'm saying if you, well that is kind of mystical. That is mystical. Right. But I'm trying to give a more rational.
I understand, but you're going back to Musameh to experience with the Chosam Kala.
Well, what I'm saying is it's a dimension. When people get together on the first Shabbos, you don't need the prop of Panim Chadashos for added dimension. Of Simcha, or this is a phase. Almost the first Shabbos is a phase in the Yishus too, just like Yom Rishon is. Doesn't need Panim Chadash to correct itself. Anyways, what I wanted to add right now for this context, though, more importantly, is you're not going to find any of this in Rambam, right? I'll give you a more basic example. The Rishonim, the Chachmin or Bona, quoted in the in Agos Mamunios in Hokus Brachos in Agos Mamunios. Says, and the Meiri says something very similar, some difference in nuance. Panim Chadash is always new people who weren't at the Chuppah? Or what about the people who dafka made your wedding that special event and who came to your Chuppah from far and from wide?
They were already jaded the second night. That's
why they or the Chassan and Kala about
them? Who at the Chuppah originally. That's why you need a Purim Chadasha, but he has the Simcha to provide.
No, I understand. But what I'm saying is that our Chachmin or Bona don't agree. They say that Dafka, the special people who made your wedding what it was, if you can get those people to hang on another few days for the Shivas and Mishto, what a Simcha. I like it better. I'm an idealist.
You've had it already.
It's not whether they've had it. It's the Chassan and Kala have had it with them. I mean, you're saying that too, maybe. Anyways, you won't find this in the Rambam. Why? Because for the Rambam, Panim Chadashos have to be new, fresh people who weren't at the Chuppah, who didn't see the video before. Because it's Marvin Bishvilam, because the real Birchas Chassanim for the Rambam is Asher Bara. That's when you have the regular people. So you're not going to find Shabbos, and you're not going to find Yontif, and you're not going to find the Chachmin or Bona. It has to be somebody new, but not because of the jaded reason. But because they're the only ones who haven't seen the video. For everybody else, it's Hashabara, but that's the default. Yeah, there's a question.
According to the Rambam, why, even at the first mishtah, do you say all Sheva Brachos? Why don't you just say
Oh, excellent. So the Rambam doesn't have that halacha. That's another raya. Meaning, if you look at the Gemara says, Yom HaKama, on the first day you don't need Panim Chatos. The Gemara Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Right? The Gemara says, Yom HaKama, you don't need it. Mikan Be'elach, you need it. Look at the Rambam, right in Perek Beis, which we read before. That doesn't exist in the Rambam. There's no difference between Yom Rishon and any other day. So how does he interpret? Oh, that's not so terrible. There are some Rishonim who interpret that Yom HaKama means B'Shas HaChuppa. That's not the simple pshat. That's not what most Rishonim say. Most of them say it means Yom HaKama, the whole first day, even after the Chuppah. Or maybe even if it's after Shkia, that's a second debate. There's not three Shitas. One say it refers to the Chuppah, even though it doesn't sound that way. The other is it's the day of the Chuppah.
Before Shkia.
And the third is, no, if the first opportunity for Mishnah is after Shkia, then it's the whole first day. And even then there's a debate, the whole first meal or the whole first day. And then there's another debate, right? If it's the whole first day, does the do the people, same people have to be around or not for all the meals? Anyways, the point I'm trying to make is, the Rambam takes the first view against the simple pshat of the Gemara. There's no Yom HaKama. Yom HaKama, there's the Chuppah, and then there are the Sudos with the Berachas HaMazon. From then on, why? Because for the Rambam, there's no Din of Panim Chadashos, or non-Panim Chadashos, it's just who was there at the Shas HaChuppah. Otherwise, you always say Asher Bara. That's another consistent point of the Rambam. Yeah, there's another question I saw. No?
Well, you were saying that there's no Kenyan before the Chuppah?
What
was your point about the Kenyan?
No Kenyan?
That you need a
Kenyan
before the Chuppah?
No. I think what I was saying was, I'm not sure which point you're talking about. I was trying to explain, number one, why the Rambam holds that you have to make Birchas Chasanim before the Chuppah. I was trying to explain that... that the Rambam, even though he doesn't think that the Birchas Chasanim are Birchas HaMitzvah like the Beis Yosef, nor does he think that it's part of the Heter Isha Labala, because he doesn't really believe in Kala B'la Bracha Asur Labala Kanida, except as a Melitza, I think that the Brachos themselves describe a kind of prepare you for what the Chuppah is going to be doing. Not as a Kenyan, but as a symbolic shift into the Chayah Ishas.
Yeah, but the Isha Niknes, it's...
No, that's Eirusin. No, that's Eirusin.
Yeah, but
Isha Niknes is Eirusin. That's Kedushin. That's not, no, that's not Chuppah. There's no Isha Niknes. Isha Niknes is the first mission in Kedushin.
Right. It's before the Nesuin.
Yeah. No, there's Kinyan Eirusin, but the next phase, which adds many dinim, that's not so much... The result of that is more Kinyanim, but it results from the Shame Isha, or the Shame Nesuin. It's not a kinyan which creates the kinyanim, it's kinyanim as a result of, you know, completing that phase. That's what I'm saying. And that's why it has the effect of kinyanim, but in itself it's not kinyanim. Okay, we'll continue with Alman Ramana. We have to figure out the date still a little bit.